You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Captain, if I really need a word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for the word blood makes noise. Is it ringing in my ear? Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm your host. Katie Whalen will be up next hour with the health report. Jim White at the bottom of the hour with yours truly with the Red List News. And we're right in the middle of the storm, I'd like to say. The eye of the storm with Dr. Ted Brewer. Before we rejoin Ted, I'd like to make an announcement, something that I really hope all of you can attend. It's a great event coming up in Dallas, Texas. In fact, our guest tonight, Dr. Ted Brewer, will be there. And what is it? It's Hear the Watchman Conference 2016. It's being held in Dallas, Texas. The dates are March 18th through March 20th. For complete details information, you can go to hearthewatchman.com. That's www.hearthewatchman.com. The presenters will be Doug and Joe Hagman, the Hagman and Hagman Report, and they'll be acting more or less as the MCs. And Dr. Ted Brewer will be a speaker along with Dr. Ted, David Langford, Coach Dave, Greg Jackson. And the lineup is just too voluminous to go through. Also, our good friend John B. Wells, I understand, is going to make an appearance. Here the Watchman is unique. The daytime presenters will examine and inform attendees on the state of the world, the state of the church, and the remnant body of believers from a biblical perspective. Evenings and Sunday will inspire a spirit of revival, boy, is that ever needed, within everyone present. Here the Watchman is designed to educate the remnant body and arm God's people with knowledge, wisdom, and discernment as the participants navigate the challenges of the days ahead. Here the Watchman will deliver up-to-date information to prepare and protect your family. Each guest speaker is going to offer their insight. And you can see that Mike and Jeannie, the conference sponsors, have great guests lined up, so you're going to get a lot of perspectives. Again, you can get more details on this by visiting hearthewatchman.com. That's www.hearthewatchman.com. And again, those dates for the conference held in Dallas will be March 18th through March 20th of next year. So, Ted, I understand that you've got a nice, big, fat role in this, and people who hear you tonight are going to get to meet you in person.
Well, thank you. Thank you for promoting the conference, Dave. Yeah, I'm excited about going there. And, you know, and Jeannie's putting it together, and you know, she's got a, you know, limited budget, and she's doing a really good job with the budget that she has. There's only going to be 1,000 people in attendance. And my main reason for speaking is, number one, is I want to get the truth out, plus I want to hang out with the other speakers. I mean, we got some really heavy hitters coming into this thing, and so I'm looking forward to being there. I'll be speaking for a couple of hours. I think it's on Saturday morning after Coach Dobemeyer. So I'm going to have a blast doing that. And I hope we have a lot of people to come to this, because this is a really big deal for me and for all the other speakers and for Jeannie and her husband and for you guys. I mean, this is a big thing that we can all support one another and go. And I know they're selling tickets like crazy, so everybody needs to go ahead and get their tickets as quick as they can. But let's go ahead and start on some of this multidimensional stuff. Let me go over what happened with the Catholic Church, with Constantine, and what happened with these, where this Druidic worship came from. Because I got a lot of people that I've been prepping for your show that I've been sending out emails on, so I want to make sure that we cover at least part of what I want to get to tonight, if that's okay, Dave.
Sure, you bet.
You know, what I want to talk about real quick is, you know, what happened and what happened to the church and why things got so messed up. And I want to go ahead and I want to read a couple of verses out of my Bible real quick. And this is out of Acts. And this is the stoning of Stephen. And it starts off in Acts chapter 7, verse 39. And Stephen's basically standing before the Sanhedrin there, and he's about to be killed. And he's basically calling them out for who they were. And he goes, But our fathers refused to obey God. Instead, they rejected him. They turned their hearts back to Egypt. Now, I'm going to cover you why they turned their hearts back to Egypt with Osiris and everything else in a moment. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. For, as for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what had happened to him. But that's been what they were doing is they were going to, they made Aaron produce a golden calf for them. And then they had a giant orgy right there on the spot. And they were worshiping Baal because they had learned to do this in Egypt. He goes, that was a time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and they held the celebration, which is the orgy, in honor of what their hands had made. But God turned away and gave them over to the worship of heavenly bodies. Okay? This agrees with what was written in the prophets of the book of Amos. He says, this is continuing now in Acts. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You had lifted up the shrine of Moloch and the star of the god Rephaim, the idols that you've made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile, and I will send you into beyond Babylon. He was prophesying the great scattering of Israel and why this was happening and why they were going to be exiled. Now, I want to read you some of the other stuff that's really important on this. Acts chapter 7 verse 42, when you talk about Baal, you're talking about Rephaim and Moloch and Baal. Rephaim's name in the Greek is Sheom or Saturn, which is basically a representation of Lucifer, Baal or Moloch or Nimrod. And now also Jeremiah in verses 7 verse 18, he said they were also making cakes to the queen of heaven. And this is Asherah. You've heard of the Asherah poles in the Old Testament, which were phallic symbols. And Asherah was, according to some of the ancient historians that I've read, Baal's wife. And so what's interesting here is that the Jewish people were sold on this. This is right after they had gotten out of Egypt. They were still doing this and sacrificing and doing all these things. Now, what it also says, and I wanted to clarify this, if you read in Revelation in chapter 8, about chapter 2, verse 8, he says, to the angel of the church of Samaria, he write these words. These are the words of him who is the first and the last who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews, but they are not. They are synagogue of Satan. So what we have here, and we've had this for years and years and years, and for centuries, and all the way up to this time, we have people who have masqueraded as Jewish folks, but they're not. They're from the synagogue of Satan, of Lucifer. They're Luciferians, and they worship the devil. Now, and he says it again in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come out and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Now, the reason I'm saying these Bible verses, because now I'm going to cover back some of the stuff that's going on. And throughout time, these things, these old Egyptian practices that go all the way back to the Nephilim, to Genesis chapter 6, and through the worship of these groups, these pagans, you know, and all of the stuff that they've done throughout time, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. So let's go ahead and start going into this stuff right now and kind of have a little quick Bible study with you guys, because this is something that people need to talk about and what happened with this. The Vatican basically was taken over by the Christian Church. When it first came out, it was called the Way. The fourth century, the Vatican was taken over by Constantine. We talked a little about this 2 weeks ago, and he brought in the Roman pagan festivals and the fertility feasts that had been taught to the people on the planet from the Nephilim that had gone all the way through Nimrod, that had gone on all the way back through Egypt. And what they were doing is they were teaching these people how to control the fabric of time-space. We talked about that last week. And they were telling them about the different frequencies and everything else that was going on and what they needed to do in order to control everything in the cosmos as far as in the hologram. This is why when you look at what happened in Egypt, when Moses was taking the children of Israel out of Egypt and God told Moses to throw his staff down and it would become a snake, the Egyptians did the same thing. They threw their staff down and it became a snake. Now Christians say, well, that's really strange. But then all of a sudden, Moses' snake eats their snake, and they're saying, oh, wow, that's God showing how God's more powerful than Lucifer. But they're not talking about how that happened, how they were able to do that. Now, what happened is they were doing the Druidic worship practices, which were taught through, this is thousands and thousands of years ago before Jesus, and they were, and they brought this mess from the Nephilim all the way from Genesis chapter 6 all the way into the church in the 4th century. That's where all this pagan worship took place, in Rome and in Greece, in the worship of the Nephilim and these fallen angels. Because remember, if we look at just Christmas, the 25th day of December, this isn't when Jesus was born. We know that because the cattle were, you know, lowing in the fields and the sheep were in the fields. I mean, it was the springtime. We know that. But the day of the 25th of December, Constantine said that's when we're going to have Christmas. And the day of the 25th of December, it's another feast, and it's the rebirth of Osiris and multiple other gods from the pagan culture of Rome. That's where the December 25th came from. It had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. It was to bring in these other cultures and these other pagan beliefs that were already being practiced in Rome by the Romans when they were brought into the Christian church. Now, what they wanted to do, they basically demonized the Christian church, and they brought all of this occult worship into it. Because remember, the Catholic hierarchy today are pretty much Druids, which is a form of Masonic worship, which means a lot of them are Satanists. But it didn't start off that way. In the beginning, first, second, and third century before Constantine did this, it was called the Way, because they were teaching the way of Jesus Christ. The 4th century with Constantine, and when all of this mess started, when the institutional Church of Rome became Christianity. And that's when they brought in December the 25th for the rebirth of Osiris, for the birth of Jesus Christ, and they started bringing in all of their fertility feasts. Easter is a feast of Isis, which is a fertility feast, and also the Asherah poles are another fertility feast. And what they would do, they would sit in front of these Asherah poles, and they'd have a big orgy, and then later, 9 months later, when the children were born, they would sacrifice them to Moloch, to the Asherah poles, and they would pass their children through the fire. And this is why God kept telling them over and over and over again not to do it. Now, if they didn't have any children, they would make sweetbreads, and they would serve them to the Queen of Heaven, which again is Asherah. So this is all part of the Feast of the Dead for All Saints Day, and also for the Halloween practices that we have now. So all of this stuff was brought in to the Vatican and into the Christian church in the 4th century, Dave. And most
Ted, I have a question for you.
Sure.
This is my layman's mind running wild here a bit. Santa, Satan, kids sitting on his lap at Christmas. Is there a connection?
Well, first of all, Santa Claus isn't the original principle that this came from out of Germany. That was Saint Nicholas. Santa Claus is actually a demon that was running around who, if the children weren't doing what they're supposed to do, would drag them down to hell and punish them, and they'd get a lump of coal to symbolize going to hell. Okay? This is not what Saint Nicholas was all about in Germany. And I don't know where this insane pagan symbol of Santa Claus, I guess I could do some more research on it, came from. I used to know it, but I don't remember it. But it's not of God. This has nothing to do with any of this. This is all the pagan stuff again. And the same thing with the Easter Bunny. Again, the Easter Bunny lays an egg. It's a fertility symbol. That's all this is. It's all back to the Druidic worship, all back to what's going on with Nimrod, what's all happening with the fallen angels, what's happening in Egypt, and all of this stuff with Osiris. And so this crazy stuff was all brought into the Christian church. Now, what happened is this. The Masonic lodges were brought into the Catholic Church in absolutely mass back in the 50s and the 60s with Operation Gladio. We all know that because they were being brought in as a news source, as an alternative information source to get all the information out through the Masonic lodges on what was going on with Operation Gladio. And the priests in the Catholic Church that were laundering the money for the Vatican basically became Masonic leaders in the church. Now, they're not supposed to be that because Catholicism forbids the use of Masonic. They couldn't be a part of a secret society. And so if you read the book, Operation Gladio, it goes into detail on what happened with all of this stuff. And this goes all the way back to the reincarnation of the Druid priests, the worship in the woods, the Wicker Men. We talked about that on the last show. They would take a Celtic child and weave them into a basket. They would burn them. This is all part of the fall festivals and all part of the Halloween. And then St. Patrick basically took these Druids and they were snake priests is what they were. They worshipped Lucifer. And he drove them out of England, and he basically re-Christianized England. But the problem is they eventually came right back in. All these different religions, Talmudism, Buddhism, communism, the Masons, all of this has its roots in ancient paganism. And what happened is this: when the way was started, you know, it was correct, it was pure. But then Constantine completely just ruined the Christian church by bringing all of this horrible, horrible stuff into this. Now, people have to understand that the earth is probably, it's a lot older than we think it is, and civilizations have been here for a lot longer. And so, I mean, we have things like the Dark Knight satellite, which you may or may not agree with, but this is apparently in polar orbits around the planet. Do you know anything about that Dark Knight satellite, Dave?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Let's hear about it.
Well, it's connected to the deep space platforms. Its source, well, I'm flipping a coin here. Do I tell what I have been told? Okay, I'll tell you what my father told me. When he worked with captured German scientists, the German scientists told him that they got this technology from ETs, who I happen to believe, among others, are fallen angels. Now, my dad didn't necessarily subscribe to that belief. He wasn't sure that they were real, but he told me the Germans believed that they were real. And this leads to a whole lot of other occultic practices that spin off of this as well, too. This technology guides the occult. And I have a friend named Vance Davis, who I've interviewed on this show many, many times. And Vance was with the NSA, jailed by George H.W. Bush for revealing these secrets, along with six other people in a group called the Gulfree Seven. And he was pardoned as long as he kept his mouth shut. So that's what I know, Ted, and go ahead and tell us the rest.
Well, the point I'm making is, you know, a lot of Bible teachers have talked about a pre-Adamic race, people that were here that had been hybridized and become humans and animals mixed together by these fallen angels. Because remember, a third of the angels fell, two-thirds did not fall. And what we have to understand is this. I believe that God made other civilizations in the galaxy because he's God. They're all part of the holographic structure that we're in. Now, I know that he said he set the other worlds in motion and did all this other stuff and all the satellites and all the stars, etc. So I have to believe that God's in control of all of it. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not so arrogant as to believe that human beings are the only species that God created. Now, what I do believe is that we are the only species that are created in his image. I believe that. And I also believe that we are the only species that have the soul. And I believe that's one of these big things that this whole thing's about, is the trafficking of men's souls. And we'll talk about that in a little bit later on. But if you go back to Saudi Arabia, you'll find basically Trinidite, which is nuclear glass, and it's all over Saudi Arabia. It's from thousands and thousands of years ago. And some say it was from a pre-Adamic race. It's that green glass. A lot of people call it volcanic glass, but it's also from nuclear glass. And they're saying, yes, that there was a giant nuclear holocaust on this planet before. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. All I know is there's...
Well, the Indians have the same thing, and their Aravaic teachings address this. So I do believe it's true, and ancient Chinese legends address this as well. So, Ted, I'm right there with you. I do think that what the Hopi speak about, which are that we're in the fifth world, one of the destructions of the previous worlds was nuclear. And I fully am convinced that what you're talking about did happen and is very real.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because we know we have Trinitite. And so that's the nuclear glass. And so we haven't had a nuclear war on this planet for apparently a long time. The pyramids, they're saying they're 2,000 or 3,000 years old. That's just a lie. They've been dated back to 12,000 to 16,000, maybe even older than that, BC. We know that they were built with anti-gravity technology. Engineering tolerances were too tight. They were using harmonic gravitonics, using sound waves to build them. We've got the labyrinth, which is a 1,500-room building, basically underneath the sand now, north of the pyramids. All of this stuff is old, old, old. We know that the pyramids were lined up, or are all lined up, you know, with Orion. We know that. And so we know something happened here before we got here. I don't know what, because apparently they don't want to tell us. But these people that are running the planet, they're pretty much aware of what's happening. And we talked about this last 2 weeks ago about how, you know, Lucifer was created and was a very powerful being. And he was the head of the harmonics division, or the singing in the choir in heaven. And he understood how all of this stuff worked. And when they fell, what happened is these fallen angels, you know, that came down in the book of Enoch, which I believe is a very, very good book that all of you need to read, basically started doing all this horrible stuff with human beings because they wanted, again, to destroy God's handiwork. And now they were really, really mad. And we talked about it 2 weeks ago, that you got to listen to that show, because we were given a soul. They don't understand how God did that. Because remember, Satan can create in 3D because he's the God of this world. He really can because of he's on the dimensions 12 through 0 to 1. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. God is on the 13th dimension. He can create in 4D. Satan doesn't know how to do that. So God can take something from nothing and create life. Lucifer can't do that. He doesn't know how to do that. He can't create life. Only God can do that. And that's one of the other reasons he's so angry. And so they had this big war apparently in heaven, which is still going on, and Satan got cast down. Now, all of these different things have happened over the past 3,000 or 4,000 years, and now we're finally starting to understand some of the ancient history. And Tom Horn has said repeatedly that when you get to certain areas where you start talking about pre-Adamic races and pre-Adamic areas and pre-Adamic architecture, they won't even let you in those areas over there in the Middle East. They don't want you there. They don't want you doing reports from all that because it doesn't go along with the narrative, because they don't want you to understand how we're built and how all of this stuff works as far as the second and third and fourth and fifth and tenth and twelfth dimensions, which apparently these guys who have been trained by these fallen angels understand this, and that's how they were able to take that staff and turn it into a snake right there in front of Moses. Now, what we have to understand is that a lot of these people were given all of this knowledge, and we had this whole group of people that were Satan worshippers that carried all the way through, all the way in Khazaria, all the way up to the 8th century. We also had the Jews. They kind of gradually moved away from the Bible as far as the Torah, and they moved into the Talmud, which has all of these ancient teachings, and then they go back into, you know, the worshiping of angels with the Kabbalists. Now, the Kabbalah originally started as a numerological thing and with numbers and what the words meant in Hebrew, because they're like picture words like in Chinese. Now, what's interesting is the sound and letter knowledge was given to a lot of these people. They became the wizards in the courts of Europe, and they also became druidic wizards through the Dark Ages. And they had blood pagan ceremonies throughout Europe. Now, a lot of these people that were doing these things were out of Khazaria, and they were basically told they had to stop and they had to be converted over to Judaism or Christianity. They chose the Judaism, but they weren't Jews. That's why I read you that first verse out of the book of Revelation. They claim to be Jews, but they are not Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. So this is what happens with the Jewish people, and this is why I got so frustrated with Tex Mars that day when I interviewed him on the Power Hour, and I said, Tex, I said, it's not only the Jews. We have a lot of other people that are also worshiping Lucifer that are involved in all of this. But he's absolutely convinced that everything has to be the Jews. And I'm not saying that
let's hold that thought right there. Okay. Let's pick it up, and we'll talk about how people overdo the Jewish thing as soon as we get back. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll see you on the other side of these messages. Couple things to mention here very quickly, and I want to just go back and review something I said before the last break. If you're worried about being able to do business without taking Mark of the Beast, we come to that time, and it comes within our lifetimes here, then you're going to need precious metals to stay out of harm's way. And again, I just say, you know, take your chances. If you want to keep going with the dollar, you know, we've made moves here in my household designed to lessen the impact of the financial crash when the dollar crashes. And crash it will, because the world is saying middle finger to the United States and your reserve currency, and you've dominated since 1944, and we're sick of it. And if you need to get out of harm's way, you see the danger, then call Steve Quayle tomorrow, 406-586-4842. And again, I want to remind you that number to call to stock up on survival food, 6 months, same as cash, low price, good tasting. Cook it up, serve it at an event, because it tastes like it comes from a restaurant. That's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And very, very quickly, yes, we have launched, at least we're in the pre-launch phase of the Common Sense Show, partnering with Mike Adams and TalkNetwork.com. Jim and I are going to talk about that at the bottom of the third hour. And, boy, it's going to be a sight to behold. He's already got 1.7 million Facebook likes. And we just got started. Our first show airs tomorrow. And we're happy to be part of that. And we've also kind of rolled in the Red List news to that in some fashion, too. Well, anyway, our guest is Dr. Ted Brower. And, Ted, you were talking about how people overdo the Jewish thing, and I could not agree with you more. When people call, used to call my shows, when people used, when they write to my websites and they want to start the Jew bashing, I don't have time for them. Well, because there are Chinese that are bad guys. There are Baptists that are bad guys. I don't want to hear it's nothing but the Jews. It's a ridiculous argument.
Well, no, it doesn't. What it is a Satanist is what it is. And the problem, what happened, let me finish this timeline. You'll see what happened.
Sure, sure.
Now, what happened is that basically this Kabbalist knowledge, this Luciferian knowledge of sound and letter knowledge, they became the wizards in the courts of Europe. And they became, Satanists. This is what they were. And they were sacrificing children. And people got so mad at them, they didn't know what to do, and they were evil. And what happened is, this is when the Khazarians were forced to accept Judaism, because these weren't Jews, by the way. They were the people that were practicing and worshiping Baal still. This was in the 8th century. So they were forced by Russia, which, by the way, set up a blood feud to go in there and change out and become turned into Judaism. The problem is, they never left this behind, this worship of Baal. And there's always been a group of people that from Egypt all the way through the Jewish culture that were belonging to the synagogue of Satan, and that's why Jesus called them out in the Bible, and also John called them out in the book of Revelation. So this is what we have to understand. These Sabbateans, then this whole group of the Sabbateans, Sabbatine Levi, he jumped into this thing in the 1600s. He brought in the Frankists brought in the Rothschilds, and these are the guys who set up the power of money magic, and that's why they own half the planet. Okay, the Masonic lodges are full of these guys that are involved with all of this druidic worship. And the sad part about it is, the lower level Masons have no idea this is even going on. They have no idea any of this is going on. The Catholic Church has become druidic because of Constantine, and even the concept of purgatory is totally pagan, from like Valhalla from the Vikings. And so they started doing the wizard families. That's where all this thing came from, is from the bloodlines and the druidic classes. They were the chosen ones. They started using sex magic rituals to shatter human consciousness. Rush Dizdar talked about this better than I can ever talk about it. They alter the sub-personalities. They control people like the Clintons and the Bushes, and they're all satanic worshipers. They take them to Bohemian Grove, and they teach them how to do all of this. And that's what I told Tex Mars. I said, George Bush isn't a Jew. I said, these guys are all involved in all of this stuff, skull and bones, all of it. And so what happened is, they cause all this associated identity disorder, and they bring them into the world leaders, and like Obama. And this is what happens, and this is why these trans-dimensional entities that we know as demons come in, and they control these people. Because remember, it's the thought. Now, you know, because this is the thing that they were talking about with a former guy from Skunk Works, and they were asking him about how they're going to be traveling into all these different parts of the galaxies. He even said that thought was one of the primary things that nobody had ever thought about, because thought has no boundaries. It has no barriers on time space. It's instantaneous, because every proton in this universe knows what every other proton is doing the very second that the proton moves. So that's because we're in this holographic matrix that we're in. Now, in the higher dimensions, the 6th through the 12th dimension, this is what we also call the second heaven, there is no time or space or distance to time, because this is where these entities basically reside. And the reason that they use human sacrifice, we mentioned this 2 weeks ago, when they drink human's blood, is because they want to absorb the catecholamines, the adrenochromes, which cause a dysphoria and breakdown of the adrenaline products. Then what they do is, they want to use the human DNA and the plasma physics of the blood to control the frequency of life and epigenetics. That's how they change things in the world. This is how they do it. Consuming the harmonic frequency of the person basically gets them high on the soul energy from this person that's been fractured, and they're sacrificing. The Bolsheviks that were involved with this, the Sabbateans were involved, the people who killed the 6th through the 12th dimension, whatever you want to call it, and that allows them to control the energy matrix, the attention field that we call it. Remember, because now they're saying that that matter doesn't exist in the holographic universe until we look at it, and it was proven by the slit experiments. And that's what this is. And we talked about this in detail 2 weeks ago. And what they want to do is, they want to control the reality of the hologram, which apparently is being broadcast from these 6th through the 12th dimension from black matter. That's why they're trying to figure out what black matter does. Satan wants to create a new world out of chaos. God wants to create spiritual beings through his Holy Spirit for eternity, Dave. And this is what they're trying to do. It's all about controlling the projector from the second heaven, from the dark matter. This is what CERN's all about. They're trying to open up these different levels of reality to see how to control them, because they've seen what happens in these sacrifices they do with these bloodletting rituals, and they want to understand how it works. That's why they're doing this. That's why they're continuing to do this. The Druids were taught by the fallen angels how to control the hologram by controlling the attention field, thereby controlling the higher dimensional physics. This is what the Hal Ronka Blighter is all about. They want to learn how to control the attention field so they can control the hologram and control the actual fabric of reality of time-space. That's what this whole thing boils down to. So this is literally a battle for the hearts and the souls of men that's being fought in the heavenlies right now. And see, that's what people need to understand, and we talked about it in detail 2 weeks ago. I want everybody to listen to that show, because these angels have fallen. Two-thirds of them stayed in heaven, and these other third have fallen. And so probably what I look at it is this: about a third of the different species in the universe are probably following the fallen angels. Two-thirds of them are following the Most High God. So what we have to understand is that we've got to realize this physics field, this plasma field that we're in, and that these guys are in a process of trying to control the very movie that's being shown, because they don't want to have somebody else controlling it. And that's basically the breakdown of what I wanted to cover tonight. Now, I know I probably opened up a lot more questions than I have answers for.
Well, let me just throw in one thing that you mentioned. It was a battle for the soul. Mm-hmm. One of the things is the man I previously mentioned, Vance Davis, formerly of the NSA, one of the things he told me repeatedly, that the war in space that you referenced was specifically about capturing the soul. And since the globalists don't have the ability to do that, because they would have to transcend the three-dimensional universe to gain that power, they'd have to be on a level with God, which I believe you said was the 12th dimension?
13th dimension.
13th dimension. Well, Ted, Vance talked about that. He said this is as old as humanity or mankind or the universe itself. And he said this is what led to the trying to change the humans if you can't basically excise the soul. And 20 years ago, he was describing transhumanism without using the in-vogue term, because that term did not exist 20 years ago. But this is what he was telling me about when I used to meet with him in his Mesa home back in the 1990s. So, yeah, I've heard this before. I've also heard it from my father, because he got it from the Germans he worked with, and when they were trying to reverse engineer Nazi technology.
It's all about controlling the very fabric of time-space. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to open up this Hadron Collider to see how it works. They're trying to figure out how it works and how this whole thing happens from this attention field that we have in this physics laboratory that we call the hologram that we're in. They're trying to figure out how it works and how they can control it. It's not good enough to know that God's in charge in the 13th dimension. They want to know how to control all of it, all of the time. And that's what they're doing with this Hadron Collider. That's why they have that one demon goddess out in front of the Hadron Collider. Basically, I guess, what is she, the god of destruction? I mean, this whole thing is about turning the entire planet upside down and destroying the work of God to bring in the kingdom of Lucifer. And that's what this whole thing boils down to. So every time you try to take it away from that, and forgive me for those folks who are listening to me right now that aren't saved, who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's what this thing's all about. This is a war in the heavenlies. You can call them angels or demons or ETs, I don't care, or interdimensionals. It doesn't make any difference. That's what's going on, because apparently we are the only species in this cosmos that has a soul. And like I mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago, these demons are just absolutely just livid that this has happened, and they can't figure out how to produce it. Because remember, God can produce from 4D, Satan can only produce from 3D, because God has the ability to take nothing and make life out of it. Lucifer can't do that. And so what they're trying to do is figure out how to open up these different channels to be able to do everything that God did. And the problem is they'll never be able to accomplish that. The universe, I don't think, could literally handle that at all. I think the universe would basically self-implode if that actually happened.
Well, implode it would if there wasn't going to be divine intervention.
That's right.
Ted,
let me
deviate from the script for a minute.
Okay.
I wrestle with this question, because people say, Dave, if we're in the final days, the future has already been written, so why do you waste so much time and energy trying to fight against the Satanists that run this planet? And my answer is, I'm not so sure these are the final days. I see some of the things that were prophesied in the Bible existing in our world, but I don't have the wisdom, the infinite wisdom it would take to say, yeah, this is definitely it. What do you think about that, Ted?
That's an excellent question. I've been asked that many times before, and one of my favorite questions that I wrote a whole answer to was, why in the world do we have to care about what's going on in our bodies if we're a hologram? Okay. As far as eating right and taking supplements, which that's a very good question, by the way. And the reason for that is because of Newtonian physics, we still have specific laws in this universe that we're in that have to be taken care of, including the fact that we have to eat food. And if we don't eat food, we die. I mean, we find that out very, very quickly. If we don't drink water, we die. So apparently the holographic matrix that we've been put into requires very specific guidelines as far as staying healthy. That's why God gave us the Old Testament and the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy with specific dietary guidelines, including not to eat pork, to keep the body chemistry running right and healthy while we're in this holographic matrix. Because apparently the energy that we intake from the food goes into light energy when it goes into our body, and it's what maintains the DNA structure of the hologram. And see, this is what I'm going to be talking about with the Hagman Show on the 20th. We're going to be going into detail on that, because the truth is this. I mean, this body that we made is not what we think it is. We're beings of light, and we're going to go into detail again on the 20th on the Hagman Show about this and why the epigenetics is being changed and what they're doing with the Morgellons disease and the fungus they're putting into us and how these are actual, like, you know, phototropic. I mean, the DNA communicates back and forth inside of our body with light, and we're going to talk about that, you know, on the show. And the thing about this is that we have to get the fact that the Satan group, they don't want to, they want us in hell, okay? You got to ask yourself a question if you're not saved. These beings that are this evil, they want you there. They want you in hell so they can do all kinds of horrible things to you. And if that doesn't scare the crap out of you, I don't know what can. See, that's the problem with all of this. They want you in this place of torment. And I'm sure it's about fracturing the soul and getting as much energy from you as they watch you slowly torment. And apparently you don't die when you're there. It just goes on forever and ever, this constant torment, like somebody's draining your life force out of you when you're in the next dimension. And that sounds like someplace I just don't want to go, Dave. I don't know about you or the listeners, but I have no interest in going to a place like that, because they are absolutely just rabid, you know, consumers of human beings' souls. And I believe that's probably one of the reasons that we've had such a huge influx of all of these spaceship and extraterrestrials and extra interdimensionals and all these huge influx of spaceships that we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years, because they know that time is fixing to come out for a great culling of the planet, and all that energy is going to be released into hyperspace. And these beings, remember, they don't have stomachs or intestinal tracts, the ones that were found on the ship in Roswell, so apparently they consume energy. And so apparently they're here for a big buffet, and you know, because they want us to get wiped out on this planet, so all that energy is released into the system. And so I think the whole thing's nuts. If a person doesn't want to fight against that, I believe we should stand forward with God Almighty. We should just stand for what's right, with what's true. We should stand for the Word of God, and we need to stand against evil. I'm not going to succumb to evil because I want evil to become rulers of us. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand against it, because I'm going to hope and pray that God gives this entire planet a reprieve, because He's still God. He's still in the 13th dimension. He can still stop it. It was like the Hopis were saying, like, this is the fifth time we've already been on this planet. God can do anything He wants to do whenever He wants to do it. He doesn't have to tolerate this nonsense. But the reality is, He wants as many of us as saved as we possibly can get saved. I'm not going to bring the evil in to bring it to an end. I want to get as many people saved, and God wants the same thing, that all men might be saved, is what the Word says. And that's why I'm asking for a reprieve and asking for a continuation of the story, because the globalists are already 15, 20 years behind where they wanted to be, Dave. And I don't particularly think it's something that we should be looking forward to, being shoved into a concentration camp or into some global huge city. That's not something we should be trying to bring forth. We should be trying to maintain the life that God gave us and the life of abundance that He's promised us and the life of worshiping Jesus Christ if we follow His Word and continue to do His will in our lives. But you're absolutely right. I get asked that all of the time, and that's one of the reasons that so many Christians are so defeated, and they become sheeple, and they just run around going bah all the time, because they don't want people to stand up. They want this kingdom of Lucifer to come in as quickly as possible. It makes absolutely no sense to me, David, why they want this. It really doesn't.
It does if you understand their orientation. This is their planet. The Prince of Darkness rules over this planet, and they don't want any outside forces that could threaten their domain.
Yeah, if you look at it from a Luciferian standpoint, it makes perfect sense, not a Christian standpoint.
Yeah, but Christians are conflicted, Ted, because when we look at the church today, in fact, Jim White and I had this discussion yesterday, and we'll be airing this later this week. The churches today are an apostate. They're tax exempt, so therefore the government can tell them what they can and cannot preach about. They don't move their people to action. They don't talk about the critical issues of the day for the most part. It's all peace, joy, and happiness. Yeah, there is that message. That's what eternal life and belief in Jesus Christ brings you. But we are called on to stand for what's right in this world, and the church is failing in that mission. And then we got the Catholic Pope, the head of, what, a billion people that are supposed to be loyal and loving and in servitude to Jesus, and what are they told? Islam is your equal in religion. We accept gay marriage. This isn't about persecution of those groups. This is about believing what the Bible tells you to believe, the Word of God, and you've got the Pope contradicting the Word of God. We live in lost times. And then the last thing, Ted, is you've got, what is it, 50,000 pastors who are in the clergy response team. They work for DHS, and you've got people like Pastor Walter Mansfield, who was trained not to mention God or Jesus in the FEMA camps. You heard me. He was trained to go into the FEMA camps, and he had walked away from this. He said, this isn't my duty. I'm here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about this, and I've interviewed him, and I've aired that interview on the Common Sense Show, and you can put in the search engine, Pastor Walter Mansfield, and read what he was trained to do inside of FEMA camps. So much for people like Jeff Rentz that says that FEMA camps don't exist. Sorry, Jeff, I respectfully disagree with you. We've got pastors that have been trained to go into them.
Well, the crazy thing is this. I mean, the truth is, you know, the vast majority of Christian pastors, they have no interest in preaching the truth. They just want to teach a real watered-down version of Christianity. I recommend that everybody listens to the show I did 2 weeks ago, at least the second hour of it, in which I go into detail on how you can change the fabric of time-space by the words that you speak and by the prayers that you give. And you got to remember, Satan's bunch does the same thing because he gives them what they wish for also, because he controls the first through the 12th dimension. But God overrides all of that stuff. But let me read you this. In fact, let me, one more thing. I have a pastor friend of mine who met with Donald Trump along with about six other top evangelists in the country about a month ago. I've got pictures of them on my iPhone where they sent me all these photos of them meeting with Trump. And I asked him, I said, well, Pastor, I said, you got a huge church. It has 10,000 members. And I said, so you were invited up there with all these other mega church pastors. Why don't you bring Donald Trump in to speak for you at your church? And he looked at me, and he said to me over the telephone, he goes, well, I can't do that. I would have too many people who would stop coming to church if they knew that I supported Trump. So he's not going to take a stand either way. You see, that's the problem that we have. We have got a whole group of pastors that have become sheeple, and they've allowed the world to control them based upon how many offerings they're going to get. This is a really good article by Brandon Smith, and it says, called Sheeple, Why You Should Feel Sorry for Them. And he goes, sheeple are members of our culture or society who are not necessarily oblivious to the reality of their surroundings. They may have been exposed to valuable truths on numerous occasions. However, when confronted with facts contrary to their conditioned viewpoint, they become aggressive and antagonistic in their behavior, seeking to dismiss and attack the truth by attacking the messenger and denying reason. Sheeple exist on both sides of America's false political paradigm, and they exist in all social classes. In fact, the professional class and the hierarchy of academia are rampant breeding grounds for sheeple, who I sometimes refer to as intellectual idiots. I call them educated idiots. Doctors and lawyers and scientists and politicians are all just as prone to the sheeple plague as anyone else. The only difference is that they have a bureaucratic apparatus behind them which gives them a false sense of importance. All they have to do is toe the establishment line and promote the establishment view. The goal is to give sheeple comfort that they are normal and that anyone who steps outside of the bounds of the mainstream is abnormal and welcome targets for the collective. A sheeple gathers his identity from the group. He acts the way he believes the group wants him to act. He thinks the way he believes the group wants him to think. All his ideas are approved by the mainstream. Sheeple crave constant approval from others. They constantly want to be affirmed. When a sheeple leaves his home, he is worried about how his appearance is perceived, how his attitude is perceived, how his lifestyle is perceived, and how his opinions are perceived. His biggest fear is to be shunned by the group, which would destroy him psychologically. They remain constant spectators in life, watching change from the bleachers, caught in the tides of time, and tossed like the congealed satellites of Pacific Ocean garbage from the afterwash of Fukushima. The destiny of the common sheeple is entirely determined by the outcome of the wars and restorations waged on small groups of aware individuals, some of them good and some of them evil. The average sheeple does not learn how to be self-reliant because it is considered abnormal by the mainstream to be self-reliant. When a large-scale catastrophic event happens, they either sit idle waiting for the state to save them, or they join yet another irrational mob. They do not take proactive measures because they never felt the need to learn how. He goes on to say, I cannot imagine a more torturous and terrifying item than to realize in the face of one's final days that one has wasted their entire life to please the plethora of idiots around him instead of educating them and himself and molding tomorrow for the better. I cannot imagine a punishment more severe than to spend the majority of 1 year as a slave without even knowing it. I mean, that's one of the best articles I've ever written on sheep.
Yeah, that is, that's tremendous.
Not written, but read. Yeah, and Brandon Smith wrote that. And see, that's what we have in this country right now. We have a group of people that follow the mainstream teaching paradigm no matter what the mainstream says. They distract you by showing you Miley Cyrus sitting on a sign of a giant phallic symbol, a blown up penis at a concert, you know, talking about she's pansexual, when you completely forget about all the radiation that's pouring into the United States from Fukushima, where your attention should be. They control the attention field. That's what they do. They do this through their Babylonian magic, through their druidic worship. That's what we were talking about earlier in the show when I talked about why they do this. It's to control the attention field of reality and not let people wake up as to what's really happening around them, Dave. And that's the sad part, is the vast majority of the people, probably 70%, will never wake up, never realize the truth, and never want to wake up and never want to realize the truth because their paradigm is so skewed towards the values of other people and what they've told are right and wrong. They can't think for themselves anymore. Couple that with statin drugs, with high blood pressure mugs, with tricyclic antidepressant, with all of the different chemicals that are being
Ted, Ted, I totally agree with you. Time is very, very short. But that was a great article by Brandon. I've had him on my show a couple times, a long time ago. Need to get him back on. But I got to mention a couple things because time is short. First of all, Ted's website, healthmasters.com. Go up there, I believe, through Tuesday. He'll have these specials available, day five, day of the numeral five, take 5% off any order. But Ted, I want to read you this very quickly, and remember time is short. We got about 3 minutes before we go out. What if someone is allergic to iodine, like my grandchild is? She can't eat fish, and iodine, derivatives from fish. And then she says, and what if your loved one has breathing issues such as COPD? Can you address those two things quickly?
Sure. A lot of people, the nascent iodine has been pretty effective for a lot of people that have a hard time tolerating regular iodine. We're going to be carrying the nascent iodine just in a couple of days. Now, but the general iodine works very, very well. But the molecular iodine, a lot of times, is able to bypass any of those types of problems as far as allergies, because iodine is an essential nutrient. You have to have it. You just may need a different form of it. But the reality is it's something that everybody needs to be taking on an ongoing basis. But if you're getting it from chemical vitamins that have all kinds of petroleum distillates in it, you don't know what you're getting, to be honest with you. Now, the COPD, you need to really realize that your lungs are so important. You've got to take care of them. One of the best things that I've seen to really help people is vitamin B6 and B-complex for lung problems. Vitamin B6 is one of the primary things that I've seen work so many times with people that have asthma. B6, flaxseed oil, cod liver oil, and bioplasma cell salts. They all work very, very well with helping people with asthma. I've seen so many people that were on inhalers who start on a basic program like that, and within 2 to 3 weeks, they're completely off the inhalers. Even when children are being breastfed and they're still infants and they have a problem with asthma, in many cases, I've actually seen these folks start on that same supplement protocol, and because they're breastfeeding and the baby gets the nutrients, the baby's asthma goes away almost immediately. Because what people need to understand is that asthma is almost always a vitamin deficiency or a mineral deficiency, and the lung tissue just needs some more nutrients. And I've seen it work so many, many times. That's why that basic healthy lifestyle program that we have on the website, Dave, I recommend that everybody gets at least starts on that. And even if they can't start that, just order a multiple vitamin, for heaven's sake, that's going to be high quality with a basically a cellulose gel cap, and that's not going to be some chemical extract that was made in China. You don't need all that junk in your body. In fact, if you look at porta potties, a lot of them, because they put shellac coating on these vitamins, they go right straight through the body. They never get absorbed. Their chemical extracts will be probably bad for you anyhow, and that's one of the biggest things they have to pull out of these porta potties all the time are the vitamins that never get utilized by the body because the person thinks they're buying a good product, and they're not. They're complete junk. It needs to be in a cellulose gel cap with no pork gelatin and no shellac on the coating. That's really, really important.
Okay, and we can get that information from healthmasters.com and see your fine product line. Special for the Common Sense Show listeners, Dave5, put that into the coupon code. And Ted, tell everyone in about 30 seconds here about your show and how they can listen to it. Hello, Ted? Did we lose Ted? Okay. All right. Well, Ted's show is on before my show here on Sunday evenings, and sounds like we lost the connection there, and we're coming up right to the top of the hour. So let me give out his contact information again. You can contact him by going to the website at healthmasters.com. He's got the Hagman Protocol up there. He's got the health and wellness bucket, as he likes to call it. Go up there and take a look and see what he has and see what's best for you. We need to get healthy, folks, and I'm telling you, pharmaceuticals, for my money, is not where it's at. Very quickly, we're going to be back in the next hour with Katie Whalen in the first half hour, and also at the bottom of the hour with Jim White. And our great and heartfelt thanks go out to Dr. Ted Brower. We're sorry we couldn't say goodbye properly, but it looks like he dropped the call.
So
okay. Oh, there you are. We got you back, Ted. We got just long enough. Tell people when your show is on during the week, because I went blank on that.
Oh, it's Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, and also tonight, of course, from 7 to 8.
On right. Eastern Star time. Eastern time, yep.
That's right. And what I'd love to do is have you hook me up with Mike Adams, because I'd love to be on his network, too. I think that he's got a great, great thing going with what he's doing, too. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, you, Mike Adams, I mean, we're so blessed to have so many great people we're associated with. But Ted, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a riveting 2 hours. I can't wait to get this out on the archives, get it up on the website, and start distributing it. Thanks so much, my friend, and we are going to definitely do this again.
Thank you so much, Dave, and have fun, buddy, and God bless everybody, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, and we'll be back with Katie after our top of the hour break.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy 2 bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.